Welcome to the Pilgrim's Odyssey, your guide to life's wild ride. I'm your host, Silwan Green. Every day we share incredible stories and valuable lessons on life and faith. Thanks for tuning in, and make sure to share this odyssey with your friends and neighbors so all of us, together, can let our light shine.
Welcome, friends, to another episode of the Pilgrim's Odyssey. I'm your host, Silwan. Awesome to be with you today. Yesterday, we talked about the veterans and first responders in our midst who can easily be forgotten that regardless of what's going on in the world around us, they still suffer from their past traumas, from current traumas, from reminders. Today, I want to talk about two other things that we tend to forget about and not see, and one kind of works hand in hand with the other. One, drug addicts in our midst. And here's a scary thing. You might be living with one, because you know what I've noticed over the last few years is how many people begin their addiction in seemingly innocent ways. You're a child and you grab a pill bottle out of your parents' bathroom. You get injured and the doctor prescribes you an opiate. And the next thing you know, you are down a dark, dark road. You're a teenage girl and you're dating an older boy you knew and he was still in high school with you and he's older and exciting and you go out on a date and the next thing you know, he's saying, try this. And very quickly, life is replaced by that drug. There are enough opioid painkillers prescribed every year that every single person in the United States could be given one for something like months. I mean, think about that. Enough opiates prescribed every year that you could take those scripts and give some to everybody in the country. They estimate up to 40% of people in a year are on an opiate-based painkiller. Now, I guarantee you 40% of the population doesn't get an injury every year requiring that. What does that mean? That means that there are lots and lots of people that are hooked on them, that are telling the doctor they're still in pain when they're not, that are being prescribed them when they don't really need them. And what does that lead to? Addiction. And what happens to addiction? It becomes your life. Becomes the center of your life. In every addiction group I've ever volunteered in, done my Ladder Up program with, every person in that group will tell you the same thing. The drug becomes their life. More important than family, more important than their job, more important than their friends, becomes their life. Which is why it is so important when an addict is in recovery, to replace that with something, to find another object of their life, of their faith. Well, thinking about that and how an addict's life becomes consumed with the drug, which, by the way, makes it easy to hide from people because you're just not around them. Because when 40% of Americans have been prescribed painkillers in the last year, guess what? There's a pretty good chance you're living with one. And I'm not talking about that bum down the street living in the hood. I'm talking about the person in your house next to you. And you might not know it yet. They might not understand the implications yet. I would go beyond painkillers. It could be the internet. It could be pornography. It could be a whole lot of things people are addicted to that become the center of their lives. And when things are going crazy, it's easy to point the fingers. Our problems over there, our problems with that thing, our problems with that politician. And it obscures and it hides the truth that really the problem is with us. Which leads to the second kind of suffering I see that we don't talk about that gets obscured when the world's blowing up and it's easy to point fingers at the fires instead of in the mirror. And it's this, what do we all center our lives around? Even those of us who aren't drug addicts. One of my favorite writers is this old Russian priest, St. Theophan the Recluse. And he wrote this book, The Path to Salvation. And in there, he talks about raising kids. And I just want to read you one line about raising children, educating children in the Christian faith. Here's what he says. The most effective means for the education of true taste in the heart of a child is a church-centered life. Now, what does he mean by that? Your life is centered around church. You order your week around worship, around being with other Christians, around things that center your mind and become your focus. I mean, I can remember when I was a kid visiting my family down south, and you know one thing I loved about it? Everything was centered around church. Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, and all kinds of days in between. People don't do that anymore. They get rid of services. How many people are in church 3 or 4 days a week? And I can remember as a kid when that was the case, your life was centered around it. Your week, your vacations, what you did. All of a sudden, when you're in church 3 or 4 days a week, it's normal to look at your Bible and want to pick it up and ask what's in there. But when you don't even go to church like most people, when you go like 1 day a week for an hour, and it's just something you do, that's the way it comes across to kids, that it's not that important. You're just doing it because you have to, not your life is centered on it. And it's an epidemic in our world today. Very few Christians center their life on their faith and on church. And that's just a fact. Very few. They're Christian in name only. It's a label they wear. Your kids see it. That's why when they grow up, it's not important to them. Because it was no more important to you than what's on your phone, than what you're doing every other night of the week. If we do not center our life and our faith on those things, we are as much to blame as the problems in our world today we point fingers at than anybody else. Because how are we supposed to give another example? How are we supposed to have the energy and the courage to be filled with the Holy Spirit? You know, I love the image I talked about a few episodes ago of when we're empty and we fill our souls with love and with the Holy Spirit, it's like a fountain of grace. That is the image that we need to give as Christians today. But guess what? If your life is not centered on the church, going to your services, praying regularly, Bible study. If your kids don't see it, if they don't see you at the beginning of every week, go, okay, well, we know we got to do this on Wednesday night and Sunday morning and Sunday night. What are we going to do the rest of the week? If they don't see that, you know what you're telling your kids? Your faith isn't important. It's just a habit. It's cultural. That's what you're teaching them. No matter what you say to them about God or say to them about what's in the Bible. Now, when the people doing that aren't drug addicts, the people doing that aren't criminals. They're not burning things down. They're hardworking people. I would say that's the worst problem because what you're basically telling your kids, hey, keep your nose clean, go to work, the rest of it, it don't really matter. God, church, faith, it's okay. Just do what makes you feel good. You know, when you're looking out and you see things you don't like, and the natural reaction is to point fingers. It's hard to look at yourself. And most of the country now would still say they believe in God, and most of the country now would still say they're Christians. And when that's most of the country, when that's over 50% of us, guess what? There's a lot of power in that. But it's powerless. It's powerless if you don't center your life on church and God. In prayer, it's powerless. You know, I can remember in college, and I had friends that had kind of grown up going to church. And it would be Sunday morning, and I did a pretty good job, actually, in college, of dragging myself to church, even when I didn't want to. And I can remember having talks with friends of mine, and, you know, they would give you very philosophical, smart answers to why, you know, I don't need to go to church to believe in God. I don't need to go to church to have my faith. You know, that's just ritual. That's just what people do. But guess what? Every single one of those people quit going to church forever. Every single one of those friends of mine that said that, their kids have never stepped foot in church. Every single one of friends of mine who said that, their kids don't believe in anything. And you can see the result of it and the impact of it. And guess what? It's happening to our country. It's happening to you. It's happening to us. It's happening to me. It's not an easy thing to do. It's not an easy thing to keep the most important part of your life. I said yesterday, this week, I was going to talk about things that suffer, things that are problems, but they're hidden. We're not paying attention to them. Yesterday, it was veterans and cops. Today, I mentioned a little bit drug addicts, because it's not just that person in the hood shooting up with heroin in an alley. It's the person you live with. It's the person with the respectable job that wakes up one day and they lose it because they've turned into an addict. But more importantly, I think especially for all those issues, it's the people who say they believe, but they don't act like it. It's a country that says that it stands for something, but it stands for nothing. It's families, it's people, it's individuals that say, I believe this, but then their life doesn't reflect it. Hopefully, it's kind of been a challenge to you today. Here's what I want you to do. The podcast is over. You got a moment to think. Ask yourself, do you center your life around church? Like, do you look at your week, and the most important hours of the week is your faith, it's prayer, it's church, and it's more than an hour on Sunday morning, because that's nothing. And you center your life around it, and it's an example to your friends, it's an example to your neighbors, it's an example to your kids. And if that's not the case, start today to tell yourself you're going to carve out more time. You're going to order your life that way. The only Christian that Jesus or a New Testament Christian would recognize is one who centers their life around their faith and God and church. That's the only Christian they would recognize. Everybody else they would just see as a poser. That's it. A poser. Got to be willing to sacrifice. You got to be willing to give up something. You want to teach your kids? You want to teach the world? You want to remind yourself of what's important? Center your life on those things. Make them your priority. Then you will become a light. Then you will fill your soul with what it needs to be filled with. Then you will become a fountain of grace. The kind of person that changes the world one person at a time, because what you are allowing to come up from within you. So until next time, my friends, I want you to aim high. Spread your wings. Keep your eyes on the things that matter. Especially those things you need to be centering your life upon in order to become who you were meant to become and to be the example that our world needs right now, more than ever. Until next time, I'm your host, Silouan. Peace. You've been listening to The Pilgrim's Odyssey. Make sure you comment, share, and like this podcast so all of us together can let our light shine. For books, videos, and more content from me, your host, please visit Silouan.com. That is Silouan, Silouan.com. Until your next visit on The Pilgrim's Odyssey, I'm your guide on life's wild ride, Silouan Green.